Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. You may want to follow the readings in your Bible. If so, please turn to the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 28. This is the last episode of the series Acts of the Apostles. All episodes are available on Lutheran Radio UK website, which means that you can catch up at any time. It is simple. Go to podcasts and there you will find the list of all the studies. In our previous study, we accompanied the Apostle Paul and many others on the ship voyage, which was intended to reach Italy. However, a terrible storm did not only make the journey difficult, but culminated in shipwreck. All the 276 occupants of the ship landed on the island of Malta. In this study, we shall find out how Paul managed to go from Malta to Rome. In Acts chapter 28, verses 1 to 6, we read the following. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time, and so no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, must have been among the 276 survivors of the shipwreck who landed on the Isle of Malta, for he says, "We were safely through. We then learned." Malta was known as Melita by the Greeks and Romans. The Isle of Malta measures 70 miles long and 9 miles wide and is located about 60 miles south of Sicily. None of the sailors had previously been to the bay, known today as St. Paul's Bay, where they were shipwrecked. The inhabitants of the island are described as the native, literally bearded ones, or barbarians. They were of Phoenician descent and spoke Phoenician dialect. Since it was raining and cold, the survivors of the shipwreck needed shelter and warmth, which the natives so kindly provided by building a fire. Paul again appears in leadership. From the bundle of sticks thrown in the fire, a viper or venomous snake came out and fastened itself on Paul's hand. The natives must have known this snake to be poisonous and revealed some of their beliefs. They concluded that Paul must have been guilty of a serious crime and that he was now being punished with certain death. Although the account does not say so, Paul must have been bitten by the viper. The natives thought that justice was been done. Paul would pay for his crime with death. Among the consequences of a viper's bite was the symptom of swelling up or inflammation, followed by sudden death. However, Paul got away with the viper with none of these results. So the natives concluded that Paul was not a criminal, but they said he was a god, an exceptional being more than a human. In those days, obviously, none of the modern facilities of communication was available to ask for rescue and a transportation means of removal from the island. How would the 276 victims of the shipwreck survive on a small island? Acts chapter 28 verses 7 to 10 inform us of God's gracious provision. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island, named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. Besides the initial extraordinary kindness of the natives, another fact is emphasized in the account. The kindness and the hospitality of a man are mentioned. His Roman name was Publius, the chief man of the island, perhaps a prominent citizen or benefactor of the island, or a man operating under the authority of the Roman official of Sicily. He might have been the top authority of Malta. He offered his property to the survivors of the shipwreck and for 3 days entertained them. Since the father of Publius was sick, Paul, with God's power, healed the man. Hearing of this miracle, sick people from across the island came to Paul and they were healed. It is likely that Paul preached the gospel while he healed. The kindness and generosity of the natives becomes evident once more because they furnished the survivors of the shipwreck with supplies before they left the island. In the sequence of the events, Acts chapter 28 verses 11 to 16 report as follows. After 3 months we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day a south wind sprang up, and on the 2nd day we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Paul and the others had to stay on Malta during the 3 months of the winter season till they could set off. That must have been late February or early March. They managed to embark on an Alexandrian ship with the twin gods as figurehead. The gods were the sons of the Greek god Zeus, the guardian deities of sailors. Paul and his companions stayed 3 days in Syracuse, the leading city of the island of Sicily. From Syracuse, they sailed to Rhegium, a town on the coast of Italy. From Rhegium, they journeyed to Puteoli, almost 200 miles from Rhegium, situated in the northern part of the Bay of Naples. Puteoli was the chief port of Rome, though 75 miles away from the city. The population included Jews as well as Christians. Paul and companions spent a week with the brothers of Puteoli. Then Paul left Puteoli and eventually he arrived in Rome. The news of Paul's arrival in Rome spread, and people traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet Paul. Appius was a small town 43 miles away from Rome, noted for its wickedness. Three Taverns was a town 33 miles away from Rome. In Rome, Paul was allowed a certain level of freedom, being placed under house arrest with a guard watching him, or even being chained to him.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
Let us remember that Paul was in the process of a trial. The reason why he was taken to Rome was that he appealed to Caesar, so his trial before Caesar would be carried out. Acts chapter 28, verses 17 to 20 give the following account. After 3 days he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." Paul called a meeting with the leaders of the Jews to explain what had happened to him. He defended his innocence, but since he had been accused of crime and handed over to the Romans, he appealed to Caesar. That's why he is now in Rome. Paul explained that he was being treated as a prisoner because of the hope of Israel, the message of the hope in the resurrection he preached and was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Then we read in Acts chapter 28, verses 21 to 31. And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God, and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law and Moses, and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." The Jewish leaders explained that they did not receive any written report from Judea concerning Paul, and neither did anybody who came from there say anything about Paul. Nonetheless, They wanted to hear from Paul what his views were, because everybody was speaking against of what they called a sect. Christianity was considered a sect at that time, so a meeting was arranged which brought together a large number of people. Paul spoke during hours, from morning till evening, about the kingdom of God, trying to convince the Jews about Jesus. Paul's message centered on Jesus and his saving work, which took place to fulfill the expectations of the Jews. Paul based his message on the law of Moses and the prophets, with which the Jews were familiar. Once more, Paul learned that not all who descended from Israel belonged to Israel. Ultimately, the decisive point is faith in Jesus. So some believed in the message preached by Paul, but others did not. There was even disagreement among the Jews themselves. Paul quoted from Isaiah 6, when the prophet was called by the Lord. The task assigned to Isaiah was not an easy one. He was to proclaim to an apostate nation that their land would become utterly desolate, because the people would refuse to heed the call to repentance, only a stump would remain when Israel, the tree of the Lord's planting, was felled by the axe of divine judgment. Paul told his Jewish audience that this warning of God applied also to them. God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, Paul said. The gospel is meant for all. And Paul was a chosen vessel to carry the message to Gentiles as well as to Jews. What else do we know about Paul's stay in Rome? The final notes on Paul's life are given in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul lived in Rome under house arrest during 2 years while he was waiting for his accusers to press the trial. Interesting to note that Paul lived at his own expense. This probably means that he had to provide for his needs. People came to the house he was staying in to listen to him while he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The account of Paul ends with a suspense, for we would like to know the details of his trial before Caesar, but no any further information is given about Paul's life thereafter. He probably was released later. He may have returned to Asia Minor, Crete and Greece. He even may have traveled to Spain. Tradition suggests that Paul was rearrested and beheaded at Rome in AD 68 under the Emperor Nero. He left some remarkable words when he spoke about the end of his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." It has been delightful to go through the book of Acts of the Apostles. The refrain, "The word of God continued to increase," sounded so sweet every time we read and heard it. God provided in such marvelous ways to spread the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Opposition, persecution, martyrdom, nothing could hold back the advance of the gospel. The Apostle Paul has been used by Christ in remarkable ways, bringing the gospel so far as to the European continent, and from there it was spread and reached us. Today the Christian Church, including you and me, are God's channels through which the message of salvation in Jesus Christ is intended to reach our families, our neighbors, our countries, and the world. May the Book of Acts continue to inspire, motivate, and empower us to do the work. We close the last episode of the Book of Acts with the words of the Apostle Paul, registered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.